Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Going Off Track.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going? We are here. It's been a while since we've gotten together, I feel like.
I know.
Has it?
It's nice. Okay.
You know, when it's with you guys, it always seems like it's forever.
I know. It's true.
But it's like gravy on mashed potatoes. It just fits perfectly when we're together.
Me and Brad got a beer after our last podcast.
You did?
We did.
Yeah. We'll and then Brad told me all these stories about the bar from like the 90s.
Well, he's so shocking. He wears those little boat pants. And you don't think there's this deep well of
history. You're sitting in this like weird dive bar, and Brad's like, "Yeah, I saw Radiohead there, '91." You're like, "Dude, what?"
But dude, you know what? It was funny. It was the first place that the Goops ever played. It was Flannery's.
Flannery's, 14th Street. Didn't you say you saw someone else crazy play there? Not Radiohead.
I think Orange 9 was on this. Might have been on the same bill. And that's when I met Chaka.
See, you're so old, I think you do have to say Orange 9mm.
Orange 9mm.
You gotta say the whole thing.
I forget all that.
Because kids have to Google it now, you know?
Yeah, this was probably 1992, so it was a fucking fuck long time ago.
Yeah. But Brad's got some great stories. We've gotten some requests. Have Brad as a guest on the podcast.
Ooh. Man, I would like that.
I would like that, too.
We'll do it.
We'll do it someday.
Because he's the type of guy that I've hung out with, you know, 50 times now, but I know so very little about.
Yeah.
He is still a mystery to me.
He's a mysterious guy.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Brad knows the real Brad.
What happens if you Google Brad? Mm. Like, what comes up?
I don't know.
Nothing.
I'm not even on
my
the
life
grid,
happened
yeah.
before the internet.
No, that's nice. That's nice. Less embarrassing stuff out there. So, yeah. Today
I would be in trouble if that weren't the case. Trust me. Yeah,
I trust you.
Oh, see? Now he tickles to this deep well of rebellion in his past years. Oh, we man. Do. We have to interview him.
We will someday. But today, we interviewed Ben Walsh and Brianna Collins, a.k.a. Tiger's Jaw, the pride of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We talked about music. We talked about their new album, Spin, which is out now on Black Cement, produced by Will Yip. And we talked about... what are we talking about? Donuts, music,
gentrification.
Brad was like, "Do you want me to tell you what the podcast is about?" I was like, "No, I got this."
No, and then
I'm like, "Wait, what are we talking about?"
See, that's a good producer, though. He's right
yeah, and
there.
I'm good. Good talent because it's like I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you're just like
yeah, you're I'm volatile.
Keep
so
it going,
much
man.
Going yeah. on in the old brain that you just need Brad to reel
yeah.
you in. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a creative man. Like I can't be bogged down with keywords.
I know. And bills and yeah. such.
Yeah, exactly. But
Take two.
But yeah, let's listen to this podcast with Tiger's Jaw.
Woohoo!
It's going off track!
Yeah, and I thought it was fucking cool as hell, and at that time, there was all the old timers who were like, you know, I remember when you fucking couldn't even walk here after 6 o'clock. And you know what? I was just like, man, I'll never be one of those guys. And so I've really tried hard not to be. But I think what's irritating is that, you know, is
this a top secret story?
It's not top secret.
We're rolling.
No, it's just like certain places where that changeover just happens. Like, I mean, like, the Lower East Side is really a good example. If it went from straight junkie town to the worst version of, like, spring break, you know?
It's Disney World.
It's funny because I thought I'd never be able to leave New York. Like, you know, I always was like, where would I move? I could never move anywhere. And then I'm slowly beginning to realize that, like, New York might have left me, man. Like, it might be okay for me to go to Nashville or fucking whatever, upstate.
What's Scranton like these days? Is it? Because I feel like I'm from Cleveland, and even when I go back, there's like kind of fancy or stuff.
There's like glimmers of like that, like people that are probably finally fed up with Philly or New York or wherever. Like I have this theory that, you know, New York is just going to slowly like become too densely packed and just kind of spill out into these other spots. And
the suburbs are going to be the new thing in Scranton.
Yeah.
I feel like Scranton is like set up for it. There's like, you could buy a house for like $40,000. You know what I mean? Like own it entirely. and it has so much potential, but it's just like kind of a ghost town in a lot of ways. Because the industries that it was built on are defunct.
It's like kind of the same as Cleveland. Did you go to a lot of those Wexbury Fests back in?
It was like slightly before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like Posse Fest.
Posse Numbers.
I think I'm that was made fun of for saying that wrong.
All cred is now lost.
I'm a poser. I'll say it right now.
I grew up in Scranton, and Wilkes-Barre was like far for me. Like,
okay.
I didn't go to a lot of shows. There was like a ska punk scene in Scranton. Menzingers came through that, and some people that were in Tiger's Jaw came through that, and the band Captain Were Sinking, and it was like a really big scene, and there was also like a butt rock bar cover scene that was big, and then there was like this cool like indie like Elephant Six type like art scene. And that was the one that we were sort of like, we were like kind of over the ska part, and we were like, this is cool. Like, let's try to be this. And there was this record label called Prison Jazz, and they were putting out like these really cool indie records. And there were bands, the bands that we looked up to were The Swims and OK Patty, and the A-Sides, who were technically from Philly. And like, we didn't have like the musical chops to do that, but like that was like our aspiration. Like, we want to work with this label. So like we weren't like part of like the hardcore punk scene. We were like on the fringe of all these other scenes, like trying to like make something happen.
Okay.
But it was
like
right after the collapse of like a couple different scenes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cause there used to be like a big hardcore scene there too.
I mean, if any scene is like living there, it's that.
Yeah.
Still, I live in Kingston, which is just right over the bridge from Wilkes-Barre, and there's still a lot of shows happening. The venues never last, but kids are still like DIY, like putting on shows in apartments. And
I feel like in the hardcore scene, more so than any of the other scenes, the younger kids are more likely to take up the helm, and like, you know, there's less of like, In like the punk scenes and the indie scenes, it's like it has a moment, and then like the bands move away or break up or whatever, and then there's just a lull until someone else is like, this area sucks, I want to do something like this, like, and then they build up a scene again. With the hardcore scene, it's like it's more immediately engaging, and it like is like this raw immediate energy, and I feel like there's less of a turnover, and there's less of like a ebb and flow. It's just kind of like there's always young kids that are starting bands and stuff in that specific scene, more so than any other type of scene.
Okay. So how far is that from Will's studio?
Like 2 hours. Hour and 45, 2 hours, yeah.
When you're making Spin, were you going back and forth a lot, or were you staying?
Ben lives in Philly.
Okay.
So I would I would stay with Ben a lot and then just go home every so often.
Yeah, it's like from Philly, it's like a 20-25 minute drive. So it's like kind of like the perfect time, like the perfect amount of time to like kind of wake up and listen to some music and, you know, and drive up there. But he now has like a studio apartment that's right around the corner. But we just would drive back and forth. But
so you guys were down there for what, 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah. Four weeks. Yeah. Which was by far the longest we've ever spent on anything.
Usually it's like 5 days. So that was like a real trip to get to. I was like, what are we going to do with all this time? And Will was like, you'll use all the time you have. And he was right. We did.
Yeah, did it go... I mean, did you have any like setbacks or anything, or did it go pretty smoothly?
I thought it went really smoothly. We did a song a day, which was awesome. We did it in order of like Ben's songs were the most finished, so we did all of Ben's songs first, and then mine were like hashed out more. So, because Ben plays every instrument on this record essentially except for keyboard. So I'd have a lot of time during the day. Well, we're doing one song a day. Ben would do drums, I don't know the order, guitar, bass, et cetera, et cetera.
And by one song a day, I don't mean that we recorded 30 songs, but...
Oh, right.
But like we focused on one song a day, and sometimes it would spill over into the next day or the next day, but like we would start in the morning with drums and then break for lunch and then... do bass and guitars, and then by the end of the night we'd be doing vocals. So like there would still be a lot of stuff to add, like keyboards and percussion and backups and stuff, but like we would have like the main like skeleton of the song like done. And it was so cool to have the like focus, instead of doing like all the guitars in like one big cluster, like just doing the guitars for one song in one day. Like you can really tailor like the tones, like the amp settings, what pedals we're using, like to the song, instead of like, we have six more songs to do on guitar. Like we got to just kind of like pick a tone and stick with it. You know, that was like one of the main benefits of having so much extra time to like work on stuff.
That sounds exhausting though. Doing like four instruments on a song.
I don't
know
how you did it. I watched Stranger Things.
Yeah. I loved it. I don't know. It felt great. I was like definitely wrecked by the end of it, but mostly because of drums, because I haven't drummed consistently in a very long time. So like leading up to it, I was like doing a lot of like rudiment, like drum pad practicing, but like I didn't have access to a kit to really like play on the kit a whole lot. So I was like conceptually writing drum parts, but not like actually playing them. So it was like pretty exhausting to translate like practice pad, like ideas onto like a full kit. And, but it, like we got into a really good routine with it, and we ate really healthy, and everything was very like nicely regimented. And, we did salads for lunch every day, which was great. I drank a ton of water. I drank a ton of Gatorade, drank a lot of coffee, and, we did it.
Would you mix up kind of the salad? I mean, are you doing like the same ingredients?
Same exact salad.
Really?
So there's a restaurant. We ate at the same place for lunch every single day.
Okay.
So directly above the studio, there's a restaurant and
The
Great American Pub.
Okay.
And there was like it was called a Fiesta Chicken Salad, and it's just great. It's like really fresh. It's got some avocado. It's got some feta cheese, some like crushed up tortilla chips on it, and...
But no onions, because Ben doesn't like raw onions.
Yeah.
Really? Can't do raw onions?
Yeah, I'm just not a fan.
Yeah.
The taste is with you all day. I can't imagine if I ate that every single day and it just was constantly oniony. I would hate myself.
I got salad with mild buffalo chicken on every day, so that was my month.
Nice. That sounds great. And you saw Stranger Things?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I like binged straight through it.
I think it played really well on all types of nostalgia. Like it just like was a subtle tribute, well, maybe not so subtle tribute to every, like, you know, E.T. and Twin Peaks and, you know, Are You Afraid of the Dark and like all these like things that we kind of came up on. But you know, just really good, really cool concept.
I have these friends who do this podcast Kissing Contest, which I really like, but they're like super into that kind of stuff, and they're like, there's no way that a 12-year-old kid would have this poster in his bedroom. Like, and they're talking about it for like half an hour. I was like...
But he's got a cool brother. It's the one with the older brother, right?
Yeah, but yeah, they were like, even get that post that year. It would be weird to have that version.
I mean, I respect that amount of detail, because I love Game of Thrones. And I like listen to a podcast that dissects every episode of Game of Thrones. Called Cast of Kings.
They have great posters on the wall in the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Theories. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Is that coming back? It's sort of soon?
Yeah. It's like 18 more days or something.
Oh, wow. All
right.
How many more hours?
I rewatch the whole thing before every season. I rewatch every season.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Because I feel like I watched them all kind of late and watched everything, and now I forgot almost everything. It's a lot to keep straight.
Yeah. What sucks is that no one else in the band likes Game of Thrones, and I am obsessed with it. I have no one to talk to, and once I was trying to explain it to a bandmate, and Ben videotaped me because I just sounded so, like, ridiculous. Whatever.
Did you ever see that?
No shame.
Vice thing where that girl watches, like, every episode in a row?
No.
She watches, like... She watches it for like 24 hours or something, God. And then she has video of like the red wedding scene, and she like loses her mind and is like crying.
I cry every time.
Yeah,
every time I
can't. I can't cry during a TV show. Just like I don't have that kind of. I don't have those kind of emotions.
I'm
but,
sorry.
No, it's a bummer, but you know, whatever.
Must be nice to
Did
feel.
You watch This Is Us? Because you can't watch that and
I
not
didn't
cry.
Watch that. Maybe I'll use it. I'll see
that
if
could
it,
be your gateway.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
You should hit up Vice and be like. I've never cried during a TV show. Let's put this
yeah.
to the test.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is like, why do you watch it? Because every time I'm just sobbing, like any extreme emotion, like happiness or sadness. NBC killed it with that. I don't know.
I guess so. Have you seen this?
What, Game of Thrones?
No, this is us.
No.
No.
I haven't seen that, but. I think that you go through a chemical change. I'm short on partners here for I have kids mm-hmm. and Benny, who's usually here, has a couple of kids and Steven. But when you have kids, then you learn to cry on TV shows. I think
really,
I think you go through a chemical change. Yeah,
interesting.
Because you like babies and
you
stuff.
Get that
then
parent
like
empathy.
I didn't really like babies before, and now I take other people's babies away from them. So yeah, I don't.
If you
think
ever
I,
need a babysitter.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a pro babysitter.
I do need a babysitter.
I'll come up.
We'll exchange numbers.
Yeah, you should. So I was doing some research on you guys today, and I read that you guys are named after a microphone song. Mm. Is that like that like K Records, like lo-fi?
Yeah.
That is I feel like a really pretty obscure band.
Yeah.
Were you into that whole like Calvin Johnson like K scene?
Well, I sort of got into it like because I was into the microphones.
Okay.
So Adam McAwee, who I started the band with, like he kind of had the idea of like naming the band Tiger's Jaw and kind of like how he wanted it to sound and everything. And so he like, before we even talked about the band, he had made me he burned me a copy of The Glow Part 2. And I was like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. This is like bizarre. But like the more I listened to it, the more I was like, this is like not the most accessible thing, but it's like, you have to work a little harder for it, but it's like, it's so interesting and it's so cool. And there's so much musicality, like sometimes right in the forefront, but sometimes sort of buried. And it was just like, the project was started as like a recording project. Like he was just kind of experimenting with sounds, and sort of by default he needed something to record, so he like wrote songs, but it was secondary to the main purpose, which was just to do these like sound experiments. So it's just like it was just like the furthest thing from how a band usually starts, and I just like had this real strong connection to it. And still do. I think that Phil Elverum is brilliant. It kind of started that way. But then through that, I sort of found out about like Calvin Johnson and like Thanksgiving and Little Wings. And there's like this whole weird like cluster of like, you know, Pacific Northwestern, like, I don't know, lo-fi sort of weird indie stuff.
Are those men still doing stuff?
Phil Elverum is.
He is.
Yeah, he just put out a like maybe the most crushingly, hauntingly beautiful record. His wife passed recently, and he, using her equipment, recording in the room that she passed in, he like recorded this album, like kind of like about her and about him processing what she went through, and like I can't get through like. More than two songs at a time.
I didn't make it through the first song.
It's like,
really?
it's craziest thing.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You definitely feel it when you're listening to it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh man.
Wow. It's intense.
It's so intense.
Check that out.
Yeah, it's called A Crow Looked at Me.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So do you two have jobs now, or do you just focus on the band? Because I feel like we talked about this a little bit. I mean, this was kind of like a turning point for that also,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I would say the band is my, like, primary job. I do substitute teach. I babysit a lot. I'm even a travel nanny sometimes. I've gotten to go to Mexico in the Hamptons, which was pretty cool. I'm from a farm village, so that was sick. I saw a yacht in person.
Nice.
Other than that, I do freelance photo editing, just really basic stuff. But Tiger's Jaw is definitely what I invest, like, the most time and energy into. And all those other jobs just, like, allow me to do that even more so. Because I got to pay back those student loans.
Yeah.
I'm also in grad school, so...
Oh, wow.
Doing it all.
Wow. What are you going to grad school for?
Art education. I have my teaching cert for art K-12, but I have my undergraduate degree is just a BFA in photo. Like, I did the program that gets you the certification, but I don't have, like, the degree. So before we, I thought it would be a really great idea during our time off to start grad school. So I did that. And now we're, like, super in it. We're touring in the fall and I have classes. So we'll see how it goes.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a master's degree in speech therapy that is now, you know, sort of something that I don't have the time to split the two anymore, because it, like, both kind of reached a point where it's like, if I try to balance both of these at the same time, both will suffer, you know, and it just became very apparent that, like, the band is what we want to do. It's so fulfilling. It's so fun. It's so creatively, like, what, you know, what we want to be doing. And so it was a difficult decision, but we, you know, it was like, yeah, we're taking the band full time. We're going to just, you know, we've been fortunate to have really cool opportunities, and, you know, you kind of have to follow it, or else it's, you know, those opportunities might not keep happening.
Right.
So when, you know, when we're not on tour, I don't really have any other jobs at the moment, but I recently started a donut business with some friends.
Hello Donuts.
It's called Hello Donuts.
Joe. Yeah. I see, yep. Joe post stuff about that all the time.
Yep. So Joe and I
didn't realize that you were
so
part of that.
So this is my friend Joe Morrow, who is a musician manager.
He's in the early November.
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah. He's a friend for sure.
So he and I live in the same neighborhood in Philly, and we hang out at the same coffee shop, and, you know, we talk about life, we talk about the music business and, you know, whatever. And we were just talking kind of one day about wanting to diversify and try to come up with some sort of idea that, that has to do like with the skills that we have for, like, music marketing and, you know, social media and, like, networking. But, like, something that's not music related, like, just diversifying what we're kind of doing with our lives. And, we sort of joked about a donut shop. Like, on the West Coast, Mark Trombino has Donut Friend, which is, like, the perfect fusion of, like, music and
puns,
a donut shop, puns, great puns. And, you know, not that we're trying to knock that idea, 'cause we're not doing, like, a full on music based thing. But we do come from music. So we are, you know, promoting it via our bands, and, we're doing, like, pop-ups at different shows. Like, at the end of our tour, we played Union Transfer and we did a pop-up, shop where we sold some donuts. And the week and a half before that, Sorority Noise played and we did a pop-up for their show too. And, you know, we're working with, Reanimator Coffee, which is a really cool, coffee roaster that's local to Philadelphia. And, you know, we're just kind of ramping up the business by doing pop-ups until we find the right, like, actual location to open up.
So, but who makes the donuts?
It's sort of a funny story, because none of us have any sort of baking experience. So, like, we reached out on our social medias and we're like, you know, do we know anybody that is like a pastry chef? Like, we have this idea. It's, you know, we think it's foolproof, but none of us actually make donuts. What ended up happening was, we met with a couple people. No one was like able to kind of risk, you know, leaving whatever they were doing to do some like dumb startup with like a bunch of musicians that don't know how to bake or do anything. Which I don't blame them, but, we were like, Joe and I were sitting at Reanimator. Like, we were like, we gotta think of something. And I was like, why don't we just throw an ad on Craigslist? Why not?
That can't go wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, I had to sift through a lot of garbage responses, but we found someone. And he was like, I'm new to Philly. What I want to do seems right in line with what you guys want to do. Like, I have the experience, and I'm not currently like tied to anything else right now. So like, if you guys are doing this, like, I want in. And he's awesome. He's really, really talented. Like,
the donuts
he's very,
are good.
Very creative.
So are they, what kind of donuts are they?
So we're doing yeast and cake donuts. We're doing traditional and vegan donuts. We're still like developing different recipes and stuff. But a couple weeks back, we did a tasting of like 10 different flavors and, you know, invited like friends and family and just to try to get some feedback on stuff. And then from that 10, we sort of narrowed it down to the most popular ones. And so we've been using those ones for like the different markets and pop-ups that we've been doing.
And I saw Donut Friend had a Tiger's Jaw donut as well recently.
So totally unrelated
to
my business.
To yours, right.
So the FYF, For Your Friends, the booking company or was it Golden Voice? So some of the, whoever was promoting our show got in touch with Mark and was like, we could do some sort of cool ticket giveaway thing, if we can do like a Tiger Jean inspired donut. And so we got this email and I was like, yeah, like, let's do this. This would be so cool. And we didn't get to try them because they did it like a couple of days before we were there. Okay. And it was like a one day only thing.
The picture looked really good.
They looked awesome.
The tiger's paw.
And someone brought us one in like a plastic bag, but it was like well past its prime.
And then it sat in the van for
It sat on the dashboard. Like, it sort of got like, it was on the dashboard of our van and it was like covered by something else, but it was like baking in the sun for like a week. And like, we forgot about
it.
And then like, finally we were like, let's like clean out the van a little bit. Ooh. And like, we found it and we were like, oh yeah.
Was it green?
This. It was like, it looked crazy. It looked like half liquefied. But I've been told that they were great. And they sold out of all of them, which
That's
was
great.
Crazy. So it was cool. So thank you, Donut Friend.
So have you been down to the Donut Shop on Grand Street to do some research?
I never heard of this place, but there's a place by Brad called the Donut Shop that I guess is kind of famous. You should check it out if you have time.
I need to do
it. It was really good.
I need to
it's
do some
amazing
research.
Donuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you make great donuts. I've never in my life had a donut that touches as these donuts. Their cake donuts are sick. Tres Leche.
Tres Leche.
Go
that sounds
that.
Awesome.
It's pretty good.
You can get them if you're wandering around town. You can also get them on, they make them on Grand Street, but you can, they've got a shop on in the Chelsea Hotel that you can get them to.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm always looking for, different
research
spots to check out. Yeah, I got it. Yeah,
write
research,
that
yeah.
off, dude.
Definitely. writing off donuts. It's a dream
I've
come
made
true.
It.
One of our favorite guests on the podcast is David Bazan.
Yeah.
I was reading an interview with you guys where you talked about how you're kind of a listener. Are you Bazan fans?
He's my favorite songwriter.
Okay.
I mean, without question, I love him.
Have you done any of the house shows?
No.
Oh,
no.
Dude, you got to do it.
I know.
You guys are probably on tour a lot.
Yeah. It just hasn't lined up for me yet. But, I discovered him definitely sort of late, like post-Control tour, post like when he was doing like full band solo stuff. So I've seen him play solo at Johnny Brenda's in Philly. I love his music. I love listening to interviews that he does. He just gets it, the world through his lens is like, it just makes a lot of sense to me. Because he's had such an interesting progression, in his personal life and in his musical career. It's just something that I sort of immediately connected with, and his lyricism is like second to none.
Yeah.
Just a straight up genius.
Yeah.
Basically. And
he's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a, I think we might. So he's this documentary coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't wait.
I can't wait either. I donated to Kickstarter. I donated and got a test pressing.
Hell yeah.
I did one of those. But they filmed, the director filmed at Rubber Tracks when we were doing a podcast. So I feel like, and then I sent him the audio for
it. He might be in it.
So we might be in it. I don't know.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
When's it come out?
I don't know when it comes out.
Wow.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So we probably got cut out of it, but I mean.
it seemed like they were filming so much. So yeah. I don't know how, like,
well, and I felt like they were getting like drone shot. I guess like getting a drone shot isn't that big of a deal now because they're cheap. But to me, I'm always like so impressed. I'm like, oh my God.
The drone shot.
Yeah.
I was just happy that it got funded because his music is so important, but it's also so underappreciated.
I agree. Yes.
And I feel like, you know, he just has like a real story to tell, and like he lives the struggle of trying to make it as a musician who's not necessarily like over that hump of like mainstream where you kind of don't have to worry about where the money's coming from. Like he lives a very real life.
All the same time having a family and that dynamic.
Yeah. Have you heard any of that Low Tom stuff?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's actually, the first single we had as soon as we were done playing, that's the song that played every night.
Oh, really?
30-something shows. Yeah.
I bought tickets to see them at Rough Trade the second that they went on sale. I'm so...
Here?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were playing here.
August 12th, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited. The two songs that are up are unbelievably good. It'll just feel really good to see him, like, playing with a band again. And, like, not that I saw him live, but, like, I don't know. I've just been waiting a long time. And the songs are so good. And I'm a fan of TW as well.
Yeah, TW's great.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I think we did the only real interview with overseas, too.
Really?
We did, like, a two-part. We did, like, Dave and Bubba and then Will and Matt. Like, yeah, because I'm, like, a huge Bedhead fan, too.
Yeah.
So that was, like, I was like, this is a super group I can't believe exists.
Cause, yeah.
Like, I don't think that many people really care about.
I feel like they keep hinting that there's going to be another overseas record.
Yeah. I hope so.
I hope it happens.
Yeah.
So good. He's just, David Bazan is one of those people that, like, any project he's involved with, any song that he writes, like, I have yet to find a song of his that I'm like, yeah, that doesn't do it for me. Like, I don't really like that. Like, I don't know. Everything he does just, like, clicks with me for some reason. And he's just great.
Yeah, I agree. What do you guys think? Yeah, we gotta get Dave back here. Last time he played here, it was so weird. He played like a church show for like this alternative church, and they didn't think. I think they thought everyone there was part of the church, but it was also tickets were for sale. And then this like cool pastor came on stage after, and it was just
I love a good cool pastor.
Yeah, I never had seen one before in real life. He's wearing jeans and like a blazer.
Trying to connect with all the youth.
Faster.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It's real.
It's real. That's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I'm trying to think what else I got in here.
Cool Pastor. That's a good name for a band.
Yeah.
It is a pretty good name.
Write that one down, yeah.
I feel like you guys have toured so many different kinds of bands, like, that doesn't necessarily sound like you, like a band like Touche or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that something you enjoy doing, or is that something that, because I would imagine, especially like playing with heavier bands, that would make me, like, I play in a heavy band, I feel like when we play with bands that are heavier than us, I'm like, everyone's gonna think we're like so boring or something.
I feel like it just, from the scene that we kind of grew playing in, it was pretty diverse. Like, we would play shows that had like hardcore bands on them, or, you know, what would you even call, like, Lewis and Clark, like,
wait, Lou Rogai?
Yeah.
He's like my old bro.
Really?
I've known that guy for like 15 years.
Oh,
I was
going
to ask you if you guys knew him because I knew he was from that area. And then I was this is going to be this thing where like, you're like, do you know this guy? And then you're like, no.
He's like, I don't know. He was like one of those like godfathers of this Scranton music scene.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a good couple of years, but But we've played a ton of shows with him over the
really?
Years.
Really? Yeah, I saw him. He hasn't played. He played. Lewis and Clark played up here a couple of years ago, and we hung out. But yeah, I haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. His son was in the Menzingers video.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he one of the little kids?
He was like the
that
main
so
the
funny.
Main little kid on the,
I didn't
the
know
troublemaker
that.
On the bike.
The bad kid?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's him.
That is wild. Yeah,
yeah.
I met him in college.
Yeah.
My band played in Wilkes-Barre and he was there and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Small world.
That is wild.
It really is a small world. After all.
Wait, why are we talking about Lou?
Just diverse
lineup.
So we're just used to playing, I think, with different sorts of bands. And I don't know, as long as we like the band too, I don't think it really makes a big difference how different the music is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we were like, our music was sort of embraced by the hardcore scene. You know, and I think it sort of like was traced back to the, you know, like the earlier days of like, you know, Saves the Day or Dashboard playing with like Bane. And like, it was just like, it didn't matter. Like a mixed bill was like cool. But I think the, like the common thread was like, it's just like genuine, like emotionally charged, like music, you know, like, I don't know, like we've toured with Pianos and, you know, and they're obviously a much heavier band than us, but like, there are some, I feel like there are some commonalities and like, and you know, if we feel like we're playing with bands that are like, sort of like different from us, we just have to do what we do, you know, more proudly, you know.
Well, I think it's, we've seen this, like we've talked about this with other artists who've come from like smaller scenes or smaller towns, because just by necessity, you end up playing those kinds of shows. And I think it's a great, it's a great place to be, because the truth is that a lot of times, you know, bands don't want to take out a clone of themselves.
Right.
Yeah. They usually want to take out somebody who's interesting or who's not going to, even if it's just for selfish reasons that they don't want to get, you know, upstaged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like to be able to appeal to several different types of audiences, like really, it's the best place to be, because you can get on a lot of different interesting tours. Whereas like, yeah, if you're, generally, if you're a hardcore band, you're going to go on hardcore tours. If you're a metal band, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
I feel like we've sort of, like, straddled the line between a couple of different styles of music. And I feel like that's worked in our favor. Because we've never, like... There are some bands that kind of get a little bit, like, particular or a little bit snobby about, like, what bands are associated with and, like, who they'll go on tour with or, like... the image that they want to uphold. And like, so they'll turn down tours that could be really good for them because it's like, oh, well, this band is associated with this. So like, we don't want that association. And I feel like in a lot of cases that can really like hurt a band's potential growth. Like why not try to appeal to a wider group? Like if you believe in your own art, why not try to appeal to a wider audience?
Totally.
You know? So for us, it's always been kind of a no brainer. Like, let's play to as many different types of people and try to win over people. Like, it's like a fun challenge, but like there's like a very real reward in just kind of going for it.
We once opened for Coheed and Cambria.
Oh yeah. Dude.
Wow.
Yeah, that show was us, the Adrian Ballou Power Trio.
Whoa.
And Coheed.
Really?
Very, very strange. Yeah.
Where was that?
It was at the Williamsburg waterfront. It was
that
like
is wild.
It was a free show. It was like their Never Ender.
Okay.
10-year anniversary or something like that. It was crazy. We got heckled.
Really?
Yeah.
For real in Williamsburg.
What heckled did you get?
Well, I don't remember for sure.
There's definitely like
said,
a get off the stage.
Yeah. A classic get off the stage.
Yeah.
No tomatoes.
A classic you suck.
Yeah. That one's great.
That one stings. Because it's, you know, it's just no frills. It's just you suck.
Yeah. We played a show opening for Circa in Atlantic City and we got a lot of get off the stages and it was like, you know, there's like set times. Like, it was like, we can't. And it's like, things are sort of set up, but it's such a weird mentality.
Yeah,
like,
we're supposed to be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I like a band like that, like a lot of their fan base, like, is just so locked into what they do. And they don't care if there's other bands playing. They just, they just want to see
the diehards.
Yeah.
What's, when you get heckled, do you engage it or do you just ignore it?
I ignore it.
Yeah.
Especially this last tour. And not that we really get heckled at our own tours, but we started using in-ears. And so like, we can totally tune
that's
everything
great.
Out. Yeah. but we do, we use like crowd, like we just set up some condenser mics in the crowd, so we can still hear. We're still very like in tune with what's happening. But like, if we do play a show where there might be, you know, like a weird mixed bill, whatever, we can just shut those room mics off and just zone out.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
I wish I could do that in real life.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Someday when you have a hearing aid, you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I hope so. So on this tour, I saw the Tiny Desk concert, which was really cool.
Thank you.
Are you guys doing everything as a two-piece now, or do you have like live people you play with? Or
yeah, we've been touring. Like, I mean, for the tours, it's a full band.
Okay,
full five-piece band. We've got a really awesome crew of friends that are, you know, playing with us as touring musicians, and they're awesome. They're so great. They're so great at playing music. They're great people to be around. Like, it's just, I don't know. It feels like a family, you know.
Yeah,
like
definitely a little family.
We're like packed into this van for 5 weeks, and at the end of it, like I would hang out with every single one of them. Like the day after, you know, it wasn't like we're at each other's throats or
the
anything.
The group
like,
chat is still super active.
The group chat is still very active.
Xbox chips.
Yeah.
The name gets changed anytime someone says something stupid. I think I was trying to say chocolate chips and it changed it to Xbox chips.
What was I going to say? Is it weird, like, because I was wondering about this with like Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, like watching someone else play your drum parts, like, is it hard to, I mean, I'm sure your drummer's great, but like, is that weird to hear other people play your parts? Like, because I feel like I would just be nitpicking everything and be like, if I was doing it, it would be better, but there's only one of me.
No, I feel like the way that
I'm like very into myself. I guess even though I can't play drums, I suck at most instruments, which is a really weird attitude to have.
No, I feel that, but I think because of the way that the band started. So Adam McAlee started the band with me, and when we first started, I played drums.
Okay.
And he played guitar, and sometimes that was it. It was just two of us. Sometimes it was someone playing keyboard. Sometimes there was also a bass player. It like was constantly different, and then I constantly became like the utility player. I would play bass if we didn't have a bass player, but could get someone to play drums. I would just be like kind of all over the place. So that fluidity kind of just like, there's like a range of like different flavors that I feel like our songs can still exist in the same place, even if there's like a variation in like some of like the, you know, like someone, a different drummer is going to have a different like palette of go-to fills, you know, but like we've never had like a scenario where I felt like, wow, this person's style is just not the right fit or like whatever. And if anything, you know, if anything does feel a little bit off, it becomes very apparent. But like, I feel like our songs are, you know, there's certain parts that kind of have to be tight, and then there's certain parts that can be pretty like loose and different. And as long as like the right energy is there, like it still feels like the same thing.
So. And I think too, by this point, we've been, Pat, Teddy, and Luke have been playing with us for, I mean, a couple of years now. We're pretty locked in as a group musically, I'd say. And it's like, I've seen it, if like you want Teddy to play something a little different, you just like say, hey, Ted, and it's just very like easy.
Yeah, yeah. But he's also like a musical genius.
Yeah,
so
he can also play every instrument. It's so annoying to be around these
people.
Wow.
I hate people like that. Are you like really good at bowling and darts and stuff too?
No.
How David from Pianos is. He's just like good at everything. Yeah. I feel like that's like a drummer thing, sort of.
I don't know. I'm like mediocre at a lot of things. Like I'm like passable at most things.
Okay.
But I'm not like exceptional at anything, I don't think.
I'd contest that, but
yeah, that's the other thing. They like will never admit it.
Yeah.
Either.
So humble.
Yeah.
What instrument did you start on? Did you start playing on?
I started playing drums.
You did?
Yeah. But my mom played guitar, and there was always a guitar around, and I always wanted to play it and would just like give up because it was too hard or whatever. Or my hands were small, like when I was like, you know, 11 or 12.
Right.
And then I started playing drums, and then kind of simultaneously gave guitar another shot, and kind of stuck with both of them. And yeah, I always wanted to play like piano or like, I don't know musical theory or anything like that, but very just like self-taught, like trying to play along with CDs and stuff when I was a kid.
When you're recording, do you start with drums and do you just play to nothing, to a click, or do you like...
I do a scratch. When we got to the studio for this record, day one, we kind of like went through the songs, talked about how they were structured, talked about like the tempos that we wanted and what key the song, like if there were like maybe one or two songs where we switched the key that the songs were in to kind of create like a different vocal range for certain songs. And we picked a tempo, and I just recorded acoustic guitar and vocal to a click. And then when we started, So I was playing along
to yourself,
acoustic and a scratch vocal.
Right.
And, I forget which song it was, but there was a horrible voice crack in it. And I was like playing along with the drums, and it kept screwing me up. Cause I was like, ugh, that voice crack is awful. But it worked. Like, you know, I was able to get enough of like the feel from the song and enough of the dynamic by just having like that, those scratch as reference. So,
yeah. I wondered, cause I remember, I think it was Dave Grohl, like, who talked about when he did the first Foo Fighters record that he just played.
Yeah.
He didn't have any reference at all. He just sang it in his head.
Yeah.
The songs.
My first band ever recorded that way. Cause I don't think we knew how to like set up any sort of like scratch anything.
Right.
So I played the songs.
You just sang it in your head?
Just to memory. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious. It's awesome.
Yeah. It sucked though. Cause like by the end of it, the tempos were all like way faster. Cause I would just like, I had nothing to go on.
Right.
Have you ever done that, Brad?
I can't play drums.
You can't play drums?
I'm like, I cannot do everything well or even mediocre. Drums is really bad for me.
Yeah, drums are, I just really suck at it. Can you play drums, Brad?
No. Too many things going on with the extremities at one time.
Yeah.
It's like too much. Getting your both feet involved, like... With piano, the most you would do is like your right foot with the sustain pedal, but like getting your left foot to do something, it's just too much.
Yeah, I think I have bad tempo too, I think. I don't think I have.
I do.
When I do guitar,
I have good tempo.
I have to like stick my head in a speaker and listen to the snare drum because my tempo sucks.
How discouraged do you get watching Dave play drums?
I mean,
he's so good.
The cool part about being in a band with David is like you can play anything. It's like you can play the easiest thing and he'll make it sound so like it'll sound, people be like, whoa, that's really cool. It's like, yeah, I'm just like hitting like a like a bar chord like this.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite drummers ever to watch.
He's so good.
I can't believe how often he gets the sticks caught in his hair.
Yeah.
Unfazed.
Yeah.
I'm literally like, wow.
If there's a low ceiling, sometimes his hair will get caught in the ceiling. We've seen a lot of if you stay at a hotel, like, he will use, like, the whole bottle of conditioner.
Yeah.
It's...
At least he conditions.
Yeah, he conditions.
Yeah,
he
does. He takes good care of his hair.
Yeah, he does.
He's got great hair.
It shows, yeah. He does. And, he is, he's a really good drummer. I can't wait to hear the stuff they've done with Will. I haven't heard anything yet. I was going to try to go down and visit, and then, I didn't. But, yeah. But they were there probably right around the same time as you guys.
It was actually right before our tour started. So we were doing rehearsals at the studio in like the B room while they were tracking.
Gotcha.
So
it's like tiny overlaps.
See them, and we wanted to kind of like sneak in and listen to some stuff, but we also didn't. We just didn't want to be in there.
Yeah.
I love
Jonah, do you want to elaborate just in case there's anybody listening who's not in the Jonah Bear fan club?
Oh. everyone's in the Jonah Bear fan club. So David from Piano Skin Teeth plays in United Nations. So same drummer. That's basically it.
Okay, just giving you a plug. Dude.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I feel like we always do this where like we just start talking about people and then like I listen back and I'm like, what if you don't know
the first name?
Yeah.
Dave.
I think I'm
David
sensitive
Hike.
Because I had a girlfriend one time who would name drop first names and it was really annoying because the name dropping alone was annoying, but then the first name thing was just like, and I would not ever bite. I'd be like, oh, okay. I would never ask her if she was talking about.
Yeah. You can only do it if it's like, I'm reading that Moby book now. And like, you can name drop Moby pretty much to anyone.
Do you know his last name?
No, I don't know his last name.
It's Moby.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
He's from Connecticut.
He looks like he's from Connecticut.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty interesting book if you guys are bored on the road.
I've heard, I've heard there's more to him than would be expected.
Yeah. It's pretty, it's mostly actually like a book about New York in like the like late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
So maybe you'd like it, Brad.
Yeah, it sounds like it. He was in a rock band, right?
Yeah. He was in a bunch of rock bands and So what else are you guys into on tour? What do you like doing?
We like having as much fun as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went to Disneyland, went to Cedar Point. We do a day off in Pensacola, go to Margaritaville.
Nice.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else. I mean, we just try to like make the most out of it. We do Cracker Barrel, family lunch, breakfast, dinner. We love the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
I always buy something at the family store.
I don't think I've ever actually been to Cracker Barrel.
It's a good road. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, the food is good.
Yeah. It's decent food and it's fun to go in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to look at. I got a zoodle maker last time I was in there.
And you can play that little game that's on every table, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Little peg game.
Yeah. There's no way to explain it unless you've seen it.
It's like checkers, basically. Like you're jumping over different pegs, and you basically by the end of it want to end up with just one peg left. But
okay. And it tells you how smart you are depending on how many pegs you have left.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And it's completely scientifically accurate.
What are some of the fun things we do? What
we bring baseball gloves, or like you know, just like we try to stay active, you know, because it's a lot of sitting.
Yeah,
it's a lot of sitting. It's a lot of like. Awkwardly loading heavy things, you know how it is, but like any sort of like physical activity feels good. And this tour, more than most, we've been
more than any other tour,
we've
honestly.
Been trying to like we would try to go to the like hotel gyms or like you know go swimming and you know if we had enough time, sometimes we didn't, but like we just try to stay active and do fun things and like go see movies on days off or like go to theme parks when we can. And we've been really really lucky where people like we can use like social media and like tweet about like hey we would love if we could go to Disney on this day off, like do we know anybody that works there that can help us get in, and we've always managed to like
really
find
smart.
Some people and like we'll like give them like merch or guest list or whatever, but like it's just so awesome to be able to do something like that like in the middle of a tour. It just sort of like reinvigorates you know. It's just like
yeah,
really
that's
cool.
Good because I feel like it's you can just like end up like drinking beer and eating Taco Bell and just feeling disgusting.
I mean, there's like, still a lot of Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, or like getting to a hotel at like 2 a.m. and like, oh, we can order Domino's still.
Domino's so. To the room. I love
that.
It. I love ordering it, falling asleep, waking up when it's there, eating it, and going back to sleep.
They just opened in Cleveland one of 6 Taco Bell cantinas. Have you heard about this?
Do they have like a bar inside?
Yeah, their Taco Bells that sell alcohol and they sell like spiked like Baja Breezes and stuff. And
oh
it's huge. It's like downtown. My friend went to like the opening and was like posting all these videos and
Yeah. It's right up our alley.
Yeah.
Do they have any like weird drinks?
I think they have like a bunch of weird
margarita
drinks.
Margarita in a shell.
Imagine having a Corona and eating, what do you like? You like a chicken quesadilla or quesarito?
Yeah.
I know all the food that Ben likes for some reason. I don't know. We spend a lot of time together.
After Cedar Point, we went to this amazing restaurant called The Thirsty Pony. God. And they had all these like hilarious drink challenge things. And a couple of us ordered these things called the Thigh High, which was like a 60-ounce leg.
Woman's
cup.
Leg.
Yeah.
Wearing a stiletto and fishnets. It looked like the lamp from Christmas Story, but with no lamp part on top. Just the leg.
Just it's filled, like life-size
full of
leg.
Beer.
Just filled with a lot of beer. And we drank them in like less than an hour.
Nice.
It was really
the worst
funny.
Part is because I did not get a thigh high, but like I was down to help friends finish that couldn't, and it kind of like because it's so large, like so long, it would create a wave. So like you tilt it, and it just like all come like splashing
on
you.
The contour of the leg,
yeah.
Like it would come up and it would hit the knee, and then it would like bounce up and just splash all over you.
It's a terrible idea.
Terrible design. The place was great though. There were other like there was like
what
a,
was it called? The Thirsty Pony.
The Thirsty Pony. Yeah. And half of it was like a weird like casino, and there was like another thing you could do where it was like a saxophone that you can get like a
you can only get a mixed drink in it because you can only drink it from the straw that goes through the thing in the saxophone that you blow into. I don't know what it looks
like. Was it like an actual saxophone or just a saxophone shaped?
A saxophone shaped, okay. Like a cheap plastic vessel. Yeah.
There was a guitar one too.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was a great, great place. Like very campy, very funny, like weird place.
The best part was that the three gentlemen that got the thigh highs kept them as souvenirs in the van, which, you know, is fine. But literally, it smelled like a straight up, like, I don't even know.
Just beat it.
If we gotten pulled over, they would have been like, step out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because it just smelled like beer.
Guys, they need to shower the thigh high before they take it in the van.
No, we didn't clean them out at all. I don't know.
There was still a week left.
After finishing that, like, I wasn't thinking about rinsing it out. I was just stumbling back to the van.
Didn't you guys go in the hot tub after, too?
No.
That was a different night.
You guys sound like you have a great time on tour.
We had a lot of fun.
We really do sound like you.
Sometimes if we get to the hotel too late, like, and most pools and hot tubs will close.
Hot tubs are always closed.
They're usually closed at like 10 o'clock or something, and we're never getting back to the hotel that early. So we'll like call them or go up to the front desk, and we'll be like, yeah, like, we're like this young startup business. Like, it's a tradition that we always like stay at this hotel and we always party in the hot tub and celebrate like another year of being a business. But like, we were at this conference and like the power went out and like everything got pushed back. So like, we're getting back way later than we thought. Like, is there any way we can like, you can let us use the hot tub for like an hour or something? And usually we can like figure out some sort of like elaborate way to talk them into letting us like.
Nice.
It has, I'd say, like a 50% or 60% success rate.
That's it's greater pretty than good. 50% in the times that we've tried like, it.
You guys are smart because this was my quest when I was in a band, is to get in the fucking hot tub, and we always did it the stupid way, like. Flirt Sneak. With the fucking desk clerk. Like, yeah, we're in a band, man. And we just got done playing
nobody,
the show.
Nobody cares that you're
really
in a band.
In the hot tub.
Yeah. They don't sympathize with that. But if you can think of some sort of clever way. Like,
yeah, we never got a late night hot tub.
Have you guys ever tried the calling ahead to Chipotle thing?
We used to. They don't go for it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've like 4 or 5 years ago, we toured with a band and they would call in every city and be like, we got a band coming through. They love Chipotle. And there was this unspoken thing where Chipotle would just hook up bands with free food.
Oh, really?
And it worked a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and like that. Yeah.
There was, I mean, I know of a band that, I mean, this enough, like this just made me not want to do it. Like a band that we know toured and did it. Like they ate like 2 meals a day there by doing that. And I can't imagine putting my body through that. Like,
yeah, the thought of that much Chipotle, and like, I really like Chipotle, but every day.
I would rather spend all of my money on anything else, but eat the same meal twice a day like that. I don't know.
I know someone who is in like a really big band, All American Rejects, and they
I
played
love that band.
An award show and got these metal cards that were good for Chipotle for free whenever you wanted it.
Oh my god.
And they would use it, and the people that worked there like never hits, they were like, we have heard about these, we've never seen them. And
the legendary
they were like, the only person we know who has one of these is Sheryl Crow. They said
oh my god,
which I thought was such an incredible like status thing.
That's incredible.
But
you gotta
yeah.
get on that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have it,
the gold card.
Yeah,
the All American Rejects level.
Yeah, you guys can work towards that. Sheryl Crow, free burrito.
Yeah, I feel like we're close.
Yeah.
Anybody at Chipotle is listening to this.
Yeah.
They would like a titanium lifetime
card.
Hook
us up.
Yeah.
We love getting hooked up.
Yeah, it's the best, right?
Yeah, it's the greatest. Yeah. I hate paying for things.
I know. Yeah. Even if it's something small,
I know.
It's like a game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down to rep something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. No, that was really
I'll wear
intense.
Your t-shirt.
Anything.
Yeah.
No, we're selective, but
yeah.
But it's nice to not have to pay for something that is something that you like and, you know, want to use or eat.
Yeah.
I think it's just hard to get away from that, you know, no matter how old or rich you get, you always remember when getting a free cheeseburger was awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's always good. It always feels the same, I think.
I'm looking for a coconut water hookup. That one I feel like would be huge.
Yeah.
Vita Coco, if you're listening.
I would love to get hooked up by LaCroix.
Yeah, LaCroix would be good.
Yeah. Someday.
Yeah. Yeah, or Vans. If you're listening, or Vans, Vans, yeah.
Yeah,
anything.
Vans.
Converse.
Anything that I like. Yeah, we wear Converse too, or Vans.
Yeah.
You just blew both of them off.
Yeah, now we get neither.
We'll wear whatever people get. That's how I am.
I just like sneakers. Yeah.
I don't mind paying for things. I love supporting local businesses.
Yeah.
But large corporations that can benefit from like associating themselves with like cool artists, like that's what I like. That's why that's where I can justify.
Yeah. No,
that.
No. That totally. Yeah. I get that. And then the last thing, if people want to try the Hello Donut stuff, should they just keep an eye out?
Follow us on social media. I think on everything it's Hello Donuts PHL. We're going to be ramping things up soon. We've been on the hunt for the right retail location, but we're going to be doing pop-ups starting a couple weeks from now, and we're going to be doing wholesaling at different places around Philadelphia too. So, you know, we're currently just like plotting out how to get into more places and to, I don't know, just get our donuts into more people's.
Have you thought about
mouths.
Bringing them on tour? I guess that's impossible.
It would be really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
cook donuts on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I don't actually know how to make donuts. So
we got to get to that Zach Brown Band level where we bring the chef.
Really? Is that?
They have a personal chef. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A little bit of chicken fried every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It would be really cool. But I mean, it was cool for me, us being able to do the pop-up at our Union Transfer show the other day.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. And it did well. We got a lot of good feedback. People seem to like it. So
is Hello Donuts? It's a quote from a movie or is it The Simpsons? Is it a quote? No.
No. I mean, maybe if it is, I don't know about it.
Okay.
It was just
that's not how you got
we
it.
Just narrowed it down. It was just aesthetically pleasing and simple and kind of like timeless. So that's why we went with it.
No, to me, it reminds me of the "Hello, my name is" stickers.
Yeah,
you guys are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
They're killing it.
We're trying.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to get my Babysitter's Club business up and going.
You gotta do it. You could write series of novels about it.
There's some crossover there.
Wait a second.
There could be crossover donuts and babysitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to start that business.
No, we're just trying to
do the band.
Yeah, the band too. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, the band's cool.
Yeah. A hobby.
For now.
That we invest everything we have into.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you to Ben and Brianna from Tiger's Jaw for coming by. Please check out their new record, Spin, on Black Cement Records. It's a very good record. They're probably on tour. I believe they're going on tour with Manchester Orchestra.
Great tour.
Yes, that is a good tour. So I think that's happening very soon. For those details, you have the internet, you know?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's this thing that Brad's not on. Yeah. If you want to support this podcast, I'm going to try to come up with some new ways you can do it to give you some incentives. In the meantime, you can Venmo us at Off Track. That money will go to Brad.
And as usual, any donation will get you rip-roaring applause.
Yay!
And thanks again, Ren.
Thanks again. Who?
This guy Ren keeps giving us money every
Thank
time
you, Ren.
We mention him. So
that
I'm
is very
keep doing
cool
it.
Of you. We appreciate it. So thank you, Ren. Anyone else wants to donate, you can get that cool shout-out. Tell all your friends about it. You can also leave us a free review on iTunes. Hey, Steven.
Hey, what's up, bro?
You can...
Hey, did I miss anything?
No, nothing.
Oh, good.
You can also tell your friends about us. You can... there's a PayPal link on our page, or you can just do nothing and keep enjoying the podcast. And check out Benny's new band.
Oh.
Sorry, I saved this for, like, the last possible second.
Oh,
but
God.
Benny has a new... Can you talk about that for
what,
one second?
What, Wax Bottles?
Yeah, Wax Bottles.
Yeah, I have a project with... two of the former members of Polar Bear Club, one of which being Jimmy Statt, the singer, and Nate Morris and his wife, and a local bass player named Pierre Marceau.
Wow.
Not making that name up. Yeah, it's great. It's fun.
Great.
If you like, I don't know, the Pixies, or like Nirvana with a chick singing sometimes. Are you allowed to say chick still? I don't know.
I mean, you're the PC guy.
I don't know why you're asking Brad.
I'm the PC guy here?
I don't think it's
That's bold.
I think it's I think it's fine. I don't think people are going to be like psyched about it, but I don't think people are going to like start a website to try to ruin your life.
What's the dude version of chick?
I don't know, because I feel like dude is you can use for both sexes.
That's I really don't think
too many, would imply cock.
I don't think too many chicks are going to get totally OTR over that comment, dude.
What the hell does that mean? Off the rails?
This is yes, that's what it means.
Okay, I'm going to kind of stop this convo here.
This is me with promotion. That's how well it goes. Thanks, Jonah.
I'm going to stop.
You're on the right podcast.
I'm making me sell shit.
I'm going to stop this outro before we go. Well, we have to redo that now. It's too offensive. So check out. Wax bottles?
Wax bottles.
And
thanks, y'all.
Support Going Off Track, and we'll be back next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.